Today we're expecting developments in the controversial right to die issue brewing in Washington State, where the two sides to a proposed bill are lining up, with opponents calling it little more than illegal suicide.
Suicide, if you look up the definition in Webster's, is someone taking their own life. And when you ingest a lethal dose of medication, that is taking your own life.
Suicide in our culture has a negative connotation. It conjures up images of terrorists or severely depressed people or even teenagers whose romance has gone awry.
Today, the proposal is expected to gain ground. Austin Jenkins, a reporter with the Public Radio Northwest News Network, joins us now. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning.
Supporters of the proposal, well, they're heading to the state legislature today. What are they hoping to gain?
Well, that's right. They're actually planning to rally at the state capitol in Olympia, Washington today, and they're going to be turning in their signatures, more than 200,000 of them, to get this measure on the ballot this November and put it before the voters of Washington State. This is modeled after Oregon's more than decade-old Death with Dignity Act, and basically, they say that the time has come for Washington State residents to have the opportunity at the end of their life to make a decision about essentially taking an overdose of drugs to, as the supporters would say, hasten their own death.
Austin, a similar right to die initiative that would have allowed terminally ill patients in Washington State to get a prescription for lethal drugs. Now, that failed in Washington in 1991. What's different today?
Well, I think the supporters are hoping several things are different. One is that this version, this time around, is different. It is more tightly written, if you will. It is modeled almost word for word after the Oregon initiative. That's one factor. The other is that was 1991. This is 2008. One issue is just the extent to which death and dying issues are more in sort of the public's awareness. We have aging baby boomers. We have baby boomers who are dealing with their parents who are in death and dying situations. So I think that they're hoping that times have changed, and furthermore, that the Oregon experience has shown or demonstrated that this can work. So they are hoping that they have a little bit of time, a little bit of history, and the Oregon experience on their side.
Let's talk about the aging baby boomers. There are two very high-profile people on each side of this debate. Can you tell us who they are and their very unique circumstances?
Well, this is quite interesting. On the pro side, the yes side, if you will, is a former Washington State governor named Booth Gardner. He's a Democrat, and he has Parkinson's disease. And he has said that this Death with Dignity campaign will be his last. What's ironic is he readily admits that if this initiative passes, it probably wouldn't help him because Parkinson's is technically not considered a terminal disease. But he says that, you know, he has Parkinson's, he's thinking about the end of life, and this is his last campaign. This is what he wants to do at the end of his career. On the flip side, on the no side, is a man named Chris Carlson, who was press secretary to former Idaho Governor Cecil Andrus. He also has Parkinson's, and he is opposed to this. He thinks that this is inappropriate public policy. He thinks it's kind of opens a Pandora's box to all sorts of unintended consequences. So essentially, you have two men with Parkinson's, roughly the same age, within a decade of each other. One says this is good policy, the other says it isn't.
Among the critics are religious groups and women's groups who are concerned about vulnerable populations. Let's listen to one of those critics.
It opens the door for abuses and leads us to the possibility that people with disabilities and folks with a terminal illness could be pressured to consider assisted suicide.
That's Duane French, a quadriplegic who's leading the opposition campaign. And among women's groups, there is a real concern that when you look at the numbers in some places that allow assisted suicide, I guess I shouldn't use that word, but who allow doctor-aided death, that women are more vulnerable, that they choose it in much greater numbers because they face greater pressure not to be burdens on their families. Has there been a real discussion about that?
I think that you hear that from advocates for women, for the poor, certainly for the disabled. that essentially if you look at people who might be more vulnerable in the population, that there is concern that people within their own families, that people within the medical profession could pressure those individuals to take their own lives, to hasten their deaths, to kind of influence them either directly or indirectly to think that they are a burden on their families or on the healthcare system. That is certainly a key argument that you hear mm-hmm. from the opponents.
Okay, Austin Jenkins, we'll continue to follow this story and ask you to follow it for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Austin Jenkins, a reporter with the Public Radio Northwest News Network.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.